This morning I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 again. We're going to be going back to our study of 2 Peter, where we find once again Peter, under the inspiration and direction of the Holy Spirit, reminding us about the truth. Reminding us about the truth. Now, why is he telling us these things? Why did he write 2 Peter? Ultimately, the purpose for this letter was to prepare you and to prepare me, and especially to prepare the Christians back then for the false teachers that will come their way, as well as the false teaching that they will bring with them. And so this is something that we are confronted with every single day. Just turn on the television, TBN, whatever it is. There is a lot of false teaching. There are a lot of false teachers out there. And we need to be aware of them, and we need to be prepared for them. And so Peter is reminding us of this truth. In fact, if you recall, last week we looked at verses 12 through 15 of 2 Peter 1. And in those four verses, Peter tells us to remember three times. So obviously this is important to him. This is something that he continues to reiterate for us, using in four verses the same word three different times, because it's important. So why is this so important? Well, because if we as Christians are called to be grounded in the truth, which we are, we need to know the truth of the gospel. We need to know His Word. And we're called to do that. That is your personal responsibility, to know the Word of God. But also, we're called to grow in the truth. We're called to grow and to become fruitful Christians. Not remaining where we once started this Christian walk and journey, but blossoming and continuing to grow. And some of that growth we saw earlier in this chapter, where we see that to that faith was added knowledge and knowledge, temperance, and you can go on through all those different fruits of the Spirit that must be in our life. We're to grow in the truth. That's why Peter's reminding us of the truth, because we've got to grow. But also, we need to guard that truth. There are false teachers and false teachings, and we need to guard the truth that God has given to us. So we need to remember the truth and never forget it. And then we come to our text this morning. If you have your Bibles open, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18 will be our text. Here, Peter is explaining why he's going to remind us of the truth. Why he is, look at verse 15, why he is going to endeavor or to give diligence or make every effort that he possibly can to remind us so that, he says in verse 15, we may be able after his decease to have these things, this truth, always in remembrance. You see, it's because the truth that he is reminding us of is the truth that made a big impact on him, that he is going to give us this truth again. So let's read verses 16 through 18, which will be our text. Remember, he is saying, I am going to be diligent in reminding you of the truth. Here it is why. Because in verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables or myths when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But instead of being a myth and a devised fable, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Whose majesty? The majesty of Jesus Christ. And then he explains what he is describing in verse 17. For he, referring to Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, Peter says, which came from heaven when we have heard when we were with him in the holy mount. You know, there are certain things in people's lives that are life-changing and transformational. For many, it is a person. For example, the person that you may have married may have been a life-changing, transformational event. For me, it was. When I met my wife, and I ultimately married my wife, it truly proved to me what Proverbs 18:22 said, that whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. My life was altered and changed, and it wasn't for the worse, it was for the better. I found a good thing because God gave me a good thing. God truly has given us people to impact us. Maybe there's someone in your life that God used to impact you in an amazing way, to turn your life around, to turn your way of thinking around perhaps. For some people, that life-changing and transformational event is a person. Others, it is an event. It is something that actually happened. I mentioned last week that we were called to remember 9/11. Well, 9/11 was a transformational event in many people's lives. Right after 9/11, many of these services, the military service, were getting scores of people trying to see if they could join the military. One of those people was a rising star in the NFL by the name of Pat Tillman. You might remember his story. He was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals in 1998, and at one point, he was offered a 5-year, $9 million contract by the St. Louis Rams, but he turned it down because of loyalty to the team that actually drafted him. When 9/11 happened, it was an event that impacted his life dramatically. When 9/11 happened, he and his brother both decided to join the Army, and he became an Army Ranger. This event of 9/11 made a big impact on his life. In fact, he was willing to die for his country, and in April of 2004, he did die for his country. You think, why would someone take all that and throw it away? It's because there was an impact made on his life by an event. And some of you might have had an event happen in your life that changed dramatically the course of your life. It happens to us all. For even others, it was a big idea. For the Wright brothers, it was the big idea of flying. And all of these things could be a combination of them. But what are some things in your life that were life-changing and transformational? What is it that made the biggest impact and change in your life? Where perhaps you were walking one direction one day and something happened, or you met someone and then you turned the other way. What was it that made the biggest impact in your life? Well, you know what? For Peter, it was not just an event. It wasn't just a big idea. It was a person. And that person was Jesus Christ. And that big idea was the gospel and the message about Jesus Christ. And the event upon all it hinged, he gives to us here in this passage when he saw Jesus transfigured before him in all his glory when he was here on earth. You see, for Peter, it was the gospel, the good news of both the person and work of Jesus Christ that had a life-changing, transformational impact on him. And in these verses, Peter wants that made the impact on him, to cross over and make the same impact on us. And that's why he wants to remind us of this. That's why he's going to be diligent to remind us of this. Because the gospel can have the same impact on us. Do you believe that? The gospel that made such a dramatic impact on the Apostle Peter and the other apostles that were there when Jesus was shown to them in all his glory can and should and will make the same dramatic impact on your life if you truly believe it and trust in it and let it. So this morning I want you to see that it's the gospel about the person and work of Jesus Christ that ought to be the pivotal moment that changes our life forever. The pivotal impact that makes such a deep impression on us that it changes the way we think, it changes the way we act, it changes the way we completely live our lives. So that no longer is it for ourselves, no longer is it for the world, but it is for the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul would say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, the gospel can have the same impact on you like it had on Peter when you truly believe and trust in three things this morning from our text. The first thing that you need to truly believe for this impact to be upon you is the reliability of the gospel message. The reliability of the gospel message. You see, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, his life, ministry, and future is reliable. Peter says in verse 16, "We have not followed cunningly divined fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You know, living in the area of Indianapolis, we have several TV news programs to choose from, don't we? And one of the most popular is Channel 13. Does anybody know the name of their news? It's called Eyewitness News. Some of you are probably familiar with that. You watch it perhaps every evening. Now, why would they choose that name? for their reporting. Why would they choose that name for their TV program, their news show? Because eyewitness testimony is often the greatest kind of reporting and the greatest kind of evidence that there is. And so they're wanting us to trust what they have to say. They're wanting us to look to them for our source of news and information. They want us to be able to believe what they're giving us because they are eyewitnesses of these things. Well, Peter is saying in verse 16 that he himself was an eyewitness, not of the news of the day, but rather here of the majesty of Jesus Christ. The majesty of Jesus Christ. This event that he is portraying to us, and not just the event, but the person that he saw at this event made an impact on him. And he wants it to make the same kind of impact on us. And he tells us in verse 16 that his message is completely reliable. And we need to believe in it, and we can trust in it, and ultimately we need to be changed by it because the words of the message are reliable. He says in verse 16, again, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. He's telling us that the message of Jesus Christ and his life ministry is not a fable. It's not fake. Now that word fable is translated from the word that we get myths. So he's saying this is not mythical. Now there was Greek mythology, all their gods. There was Roman mythology, all their gods. There is even a mythology wherever you go in this world. You can go to South America, you can go to Native Americans. There's a mythology, but he's saying this is not a myth. This is not a legend. This is not a fable. This is reliable, verifiable truth. We are not following after a fable, but rather the message of Jesus Christ is based on fact. You see, if the gospel is just a fable, there's really no reason to get excited about it. But he is excited about it because he wasn't following after the inventions and the imaginations of other men. He was following after the truth as he personally witnessed it with his own eyes and with his own ears. He was an eyewitness of the majesty of Jesus Christ. The message of Jesus Christ is not a fable, but the message of Jesus Christ is based on a fact. He says, when we made known unto you, in verse 16, the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, Peter and the other apostles did not make up their stories. They didn't make it up. Like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, for I delivered unto you, Paul said, that first of all which I received. This is the message that Peter is bringing to us. This is the message that Paul brings to us. This is the message that James brings to us. This is the message that John brings to us. This is the message that Matthew and Mark and Luke bring to us. All of this message is not something that they made up, but rather something that they received and then delivered so that we can believe it, trust in it, and be changed by it. This is the kind of impact that it had on these men that literally, they changed the world. The world was turned upside down because they were motivated by the truth of the gospel message. It was a message of both the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ that Peter was describing. It was a message of his power, the power of Jesus. Not just the power that he had in eternity past, but the power that Jesus displayed on this earth. You see, it was seen in his birth, wasn't it? The power of God and the power of Christ was seen in his virgin birth. A birth like no other. No other that has been or ever will be. It is a unique birth that shows and demonstrates the power of Jesus. And that was the message that he received and delivered to you and I. It was the power of his life. There's only one man that lived a perfect and a sinless life, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was from the power of his being God himself. And then we see the power of Jesus through his miracles. Remember all the miracles that we find in the Gospels, demonstrating once again the wonder and the power of God through Jesus. And ultimately the power is seen in his resurrection. And the greatest power is in his salvation. Have you experienced for yourself the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you been saved? Gloriously saved? Once a child of death and hell, and now a child of the King in heaven. This is the kind of power that Jesus gives. And this is the kind of power that Peter and the apostles were delivering to us. You see, the message of the power of Jesus Christ is reliable, but it was also a message of the purpose of Jesus Christ. You see, He's not just telling us about His power, but also His coming. You see, Jesus Christ, who was powerful to go back to heaven, is also powerful to return from heaven to save us and to rescue us from this world someday. And this is the message that was received by Peter and shared with us. It is the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. It's His whole life. You see, the gospel and Jesus are equivalent to each other. The gospel is about Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the essence of the gospel. And so this message of Jesus and His gospel and His love and His deliverance from sin is what Peter is delivering to us today. And it is not fake. It's not a fable. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It is fact. It is truth. Because it is power and the coming of Christ that is demonstrated to us. The words of this message are reliable, Peter says. And when we recognize that, when we believe it and trust in it, it will change our lives. But not only were the words of this message reliable, the witnesses of this message are reliable as well. The last part of verse 16, look there, Peter says, "But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty." Now this, Peter is describing something that was life-changing. Something that was transformational. That made a huge impact on him. You see, Peter was not just telling stories. Sometimes we tell stories to our kids or grandkids. You get out a book. You get out the nursery rhymes, Mother Goose fairy tales. And you tell them these stories, right? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. I don't know if that was Mother Goose, right? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and they're enamored by these fairy tale stories. But Peter's saying, I'm not telling just another story. I didn't get a book out of the library. I'm sharing with you what I saw. And if we can see what Peter saw, now we may not be able to see it physically with our physical eyes or hear it with our physical ears. But if we have the spiritual eyes to see and the spiritual ears to hear, you know what? The same impact of what Peter saw will be placed upon us. And there will be a change, a life-changing event, a transformational event in our life as well. What did Peter see? What did Peter see in verse 16? It was the majesty of Jesus Christ. That word majesty can also be translated splendor or magnificence. I believe he uses this word because it really was hard for him to describe what he actually saw. But he says whatever it was absolutely magnificent beyond what words could describe. And even though it may be hard to describe, it is recorded for us in three places in the Synoptic Gospels. The event that he is describing for us was called the Transfiguration of Jesus Christ. On your message guide, I would encourage you to look at all three of those when you get home today. And look at all three accounts of that wonderful, momentous event that literally changed Peter's life. But I'd like us to look at the account given in the Gospel of Mark. Later on, look in Matthew and Luke, but right now let's turn over. Keep your finger in 2 Peter, but look over at Mark chapter 9. Because in this passage, Mark, many people believe, was a very close associate to the Apostle Peter. And many believe that Mark gleaned from Peter's ministry and from Peter's explanation what he could in order to write this gospel under the inspiration of God. But in Mark chapter 9, beginning verse 1 through verse 8, we see what happened to Peter. But not just Peter, but also a few others at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Picking up in verse 1. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And related to this, he explains in verse 2. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, our author, and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. So as no fuller on earth can white them, there was no laundry detergent that can get something so white as his raiment. Verse 4, and there appeared unto them Elias, or Elijah, along with Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. And Peter, who was there, answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say. He didn't know what to say. For they were sore afraid. And then there was a cloud that overshadowed them. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son. Hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only with themselves. This account was what impacted Peter in a dramatic way. But it wasn't just Peter. It was James and John as well. And these three apostles were able to confirm each other's testimony, eyewitness testimony of what happened on that mountain. And they did. This reliable message made a huge impact on Peter. And it can make a huge impact on us if we truly believe what he says and what he reveals to us and trust in this message. You see, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the message of this event in Christ's life shows us his power and his coming. His power to save us from our sin and his coming again to receive us unto himself. Do you believe in the reliability of the message of Jesus Christ? Then you are well on your way for it to make a huge impact on your life. The second thing that you need to believe and trust in is the revelation of the gospel message. The revelation of the gospel message. You see, the message of the gospel is not only reliable, but it is also a revelation. Look at verse 17 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Going back to our text. For, Peter explains, he, referring to Jesus Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What is he referencing there? The event, the transfiguration that we just read in Matthew and Mark and Luke. The Bible shows us what happens to people who come close to the presence of God. Not just here, but in other places. From Exodus 34, Moses saw the glory of God. Remember that? And what happened to his face? It shined. What about Isaiah? In Isaiah 6, a couple Wednesday nights ago, we looked at this. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And what happened to Isaiah? His ministry was revived. And he said to the Lord, Here am I, send me. In the Gospels, Peter and James and John saw Jesus transfigured before them. Now, what does that mean? Transfigure comes from the Greek word metamorphosis. We've heard that word. Has the idea of change. They saw Jesus change right before their very eyes. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, they saw, and their lives were never the same after this. Because the message of the gospel is a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is no ordinary person. He is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter reminds us of what he saw at that event that changed his life. The transfiguration of Jesus. You see, it was a revelation of his acclaim. Of the acclaim of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 17, For he, Jesus, received from God the Father, first thing, honor. Everything that happened at the transfiguration, Peter explains in this verse, was a gift from God the Father to his only begotten Son. Now, why would God the Father do this to His Son? I believe it was primarily to encourage His Son in the life and ministry that He was undergoing. Remember, Jesus, from eternity past, was glorified. And now He had that glory shaded a bit, there in earth, with that human body. And just for a moment, He was able to be transfigured once again and show the glory that was His from the very beginning. And you know what? Later on, that glory was taken and hidden and shaded once again. Yes, I believe it was for the disciples, but I think ultimately it was a gift for his son to encourage him. And part of that gift was honor. You see, there were two other people present at the Transfiguration besides Peter and James and John. Who were they? Moses and Elijah, right? Two of the greatest prophets in Jewish history. And yet, those two prophets came and were given as a gift by God the Father to his son to talk with him, and I believe to demonstrate honor to him. You see, Jesus was the fulfillment of those two prophets' position. After Jesus, there was no further prophet like Jesus. Not only that, he fulfilled many of the prophecies that they made about him. You see, Jesus was their Savior too, and their Lord, and their God. And so them coming to meet and talk to Jesus showed their honor to Jesus, and it was a revelation of his acclaim. And so Peter is saying, this is the true God. This is the one who will change my life dramatically. But it was also a revelation of his appearance, his true appearance. Verse 17, Jesus received from God the Father not just honor, but also glory. According to the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. This was his glory from eternity past. This was his glory now, and this will be his glory forever. In fact, if you look at the very first chapters of Revelation, John is again seeing the glory of Jesus Christ as it is now and as it ever will be. And they had a glimpse of it there on earth. This glory belongs to Jesus. It's a divine glory because he is the Son of God and shares as the Son the very same nature as God the Father, which makes him God. Even the Pharisees recognized in John 5:18, that when God the Son, when Jesus said, I'm the Son of God, it made him equal with God. And so this was no ordinary man. This is the Son of God, which makes him equal with God, sharing the same nature of God, and deserves our worship and respect. This honor and glory belongs to Jesus Christ. And this transfiguration was a revelation of his acclaim and honor, a revelation of his appearance and glory, but also, I think Peter is primarily indicating in verse 17, it was a revelation of his approval from his Father. Look at the last part of verse 17. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. According to the gospel accounts, and you've got to look at both of those, or all three of those, to get a full picture of what Peter saw and heard. But according to them, there was a bright cloud that overshadowed them. And from that bright cloud, a voice came out of the cloud. Now, that cloud was no ordinary cloud. My son just joined Cub Scouts, and we're looking at some of the meteorology. And he has to learn different types of clouds. And there's the cirrus, the cumulus, the cumulonimbus. Some of you probably know what the other ones are. But this was not any of those kind of natural clouds. This cloud was a bright cloud. In fact, Peter describes it in verse 17 as the excellent glory. This was the cloud of God's own glory. The Shekinah glory that we see in the Old Testament when God Himself was leading His people out of Egypt with a pillar of fire at night, but then by a cloud of His glory by day. This is the Shekinah glory that would settle on the tabernacle and settle on the temple to show His personal presence. And this was the Shekinah glory that came over that holy mountain to tell those people that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God the Father was giving His stamp of approval on Jesus, His person, His character, and His ministry so that we know there's no one else to go to but Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through Him. This is the revelation of God's approval. This cloud was no ordinary cloud, and this voice was no ordinary voice. It was the voice of God Himself, and it expressed His own approval on His Son. This revelation is what Peter and James and John both saw and heard. They saw it with their own eyes. They heard it with their own ears. Imagine the impact that that would have made if you were there. You know what? Through them we were. Because they've recorded it for us. And I want you to see what they saw. I want you to hear what they heard. Get rid of those distractions from the world. Forget about what you're having to eat today. Forget about what's on television this afternoon. Forget about all that stuff and start to see what they saw. And start to hear what they heard and let it have the same impact on you as it did on them. When we truly believe in His honor and His glory and that voice that gave His stamp of approval to the Son of God, it will change our life. It will be transformational. But then the third thing that we need to see and believe is the reality of the gospel message. Not just its reliability, not just the revelation of it, but the reality of it. The gospel message, the message about the life and ministry and coming of Jesus Christ is real. It's real. More real than some of the other things that we're living for. And Peter wants to confirm these things even more. So in verse 18 he says, imagine what he saw now. Imagine in your mind's eye what he heard. He says, and this voice, which came from heaven, we heard. When we were with Him, Jesus, in the holy mountain. You see, this event really happened. Now, there are some events in history that people are still in doubt of. I don't know why. Even though Neil Armstrong first walked on the moon on July 20th, 1969, there are still some people who doubt that that event actually happened and was real. So Peter doesn't want to leave any room for us to doubt the reality of this event, the reality of the existence of Jesus, and the reality of His power and coming. This event really happened, and it made a huge impact on Peter. And if we'll let it, it will make a huge impact on our everyday life. You see, it happened to a real person. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a fable. He's not a myth. He's not a legend. Jesus Christ is a real person. He did everything He said He'd do. He is everything He said He was. He really was born of a virgin. He really did live a perfect and a sinless life. He really did perform supernatural miracles. He really did die on the cross. He really did arise from the dead. He really will save them to the uttermost, them that come unto God by Him, as it says in Hebrews 7:25. And He really will, as John says in John 14:3, He really will come again and receive you unto Myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is real. But it also happened with a real proclamation, Peter says. This voice was real. He says in verse 18, this voice which came from heaven, we heard with our own ears. It wasn't an impression. It was an audible sound, a voice of God from heaven that he heard. That voice was distinctive and unforgettable. It was a gripping voice. It was a voice that gripped Peter and John and James. And it was a voice that can and will impact us as well. It ought to grip us and show us who Jesus is, what He's all about, and why every day we need to live for Him. Because it happened with a real proclamation. Listen to what that voice said. And listen to whom that voice spoke. It was upon His only begotten Son. That voice was real. That person was real. But it also happened at a real place. The location was real as well. When did this happen? When we, Peter says in verse 18, were with Him in the holy mount. Now, we're not exactly sure which mountain this was. Some believe it was Mount Tabor. Some believe it was Mount Hermon. And there are some evidences that it might have been this one greater than this one. But it was a real place. Even if we can't pinpoint it on a map, it was a real mountain. And God's presence was what made it holy. You know what? When God is present in your life, it will make your life holy as well. But Peter says, at that mountain, at that holy mount, we were with him. Peter and James and John, they weren't at a distance when this happened. They were close up and personal. They were close by him. There was no mistaking what they saw. There was no mistaking what they heard. They were with him because that place was real. Because this whole event is real. The message of the gospel is real. And it made a huge impact on Peter. Now, there was a point later on here in the gospels, if you look at the story, when Peter was afraid and ashamed to admit that he had been with Jesus. But now, in this book, he shows that it was the greatest change in his life and the huge motivator. And it will make a huge impact on us as well if we remember that it's all real. Peter was not the only one on that holy mount when Jesus was transfigured. John was too. As we finish our message, I want us to listen to the impact that this event had on John as well. Not just the event, but the person of Jesus Christ. Look over with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. Just one passage here. Remember, John was there. Peter was there. James was there. And listen to what John says. This amazing transformational event that impacted his life, just like it impacted Peter. And John says in John 1, 14, referring to Jesus Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And look in the parentheses. And we beheld His glory. Transfiguration. Not just the transfiguration, but the entire life and ministry of Jesus Christ, which is true, reliable, a revelation. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The impact that Jesus made on Peter and John was so great that in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, when the public saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? This is the impact that Jesus Christ and His gospel had on them. And this is the impact that Jesus Christ and His gospel can have on you. And I want us to leave by asking the question, has it impacted my life in that way? Has it? As I was driving here, I was thinking about that very question. Has this impacted my life the way it impacted Peter and John? And I said, well, I believe in the reliability of the gospel. I don't doubt that what we have here is true. I believe in the reality of Jesus Christ. I believe the reality of this transfiguration. I believe that it happened, actually. But then I came to that second point. Have I really come to the grips and really come to the point where I believe that this was a revelation of God manifest in the flesh? Do I really believe that Jesus is the image of the invisible God? Do I really believe that He is not just my Savior, but also my Lord and my God? And with these three coming together, if we truly believe them and hold them close to our heart, it will impact us like it impacted Peter and John. And maybe it hasn't impacted us because we haven't believed those three things. Most of you here believe in the reliability and the reality of Jesus and His gospel. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. But have you been confronted face to face with the revelation of Jesus Christ as God's Son? Who He is, what He has done? If so, it will impact you like it impacted Peter and John. As evangelist D.L. Moody once believed, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to Him. A man or a woman that sees the reliability of the gospel message. Not only that, but the revelation of Jesus Christ as God's Son to us and the reality of it all. And when you consecrate your life to Him completely, you will be amazed at the impact you will make for God Himself. Make sure it is the gospel not another person, not another event, not another big idea that makes the biggest impact on your life. Make sure it's only Jesus and His gospel that makes the biggest impact on your life, so that like Peter, like John, people can take knowledge of you that you have been with Jesus, because you also are an eyewitness of His glory.